That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. We've made it to
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. It's motherfucking Friday, bitches, and we did it.
We did it. Another whole week in the can.
It's so rewarding. Like, and you know what? And I said this a few weeks ago, but there's so much ahead of us. And so before we know it, it's going to be Monday morning.
Right. So there will never be as much weekend as there is right now. Appreciate it. Alarm-free living. Let's get after it, guys.
Let's get the fuck after it. Hope everyone had an amazing Thursday. We have an unbelievable show for you guys today.
We have so much to talk about today. I am so excited to get into it.
We got the Fast Five. We have a TV recap segment where we're going to be recapping our first Toast movie of the week for the month of February, which is honoring Black History Month, where we watched The Butler.
The most amazing movie.
I didn't know I was going to be watching the best movie I ever saw. I just didn't know that at all. And so powerful, so emotional, but also funny. Like, it was the whole package. So I cannot wait to dive into that. And we also have Southern Charm. So I didn't watch it because I was like busy getting drunk, celebrating being a New York Times bestseller. And as of this morning, a Publisher's Weekly, a Wall Street Journal, and a... what's the other one?
USA Today.
USA Today, and also two major lists in Canada. So I think I can officially call myself an international bestselling author.
International, 100%.
So I was just like busy, but I want you to tell me all about what happened on Southern Charm because you said it was unbelievable.
I don't know if it was just me like being in a good place to watch a Southern Charm reunion, but I thought that it was one of the best reunion episodes I've ever watched of anything. There was not like 1 minute, one word wasted. I actually, like, usually when I come back from commercials, I fast forward. If I miss, you know, a 30 seconds in the beginning,
right,
no big deal. But I like literally backed it up back to the commercial so I could see if there was any like dialogue in between. I just thought it was so good. Like, let me know if you agree with me. I just felt like all of the conversations, they were obviously, it was part two, so it was all the biggest conversations of the season. And there was a lot about Madison and Austin, a lot about Catherine. And I just thought that it was so good, entertaining, interesting, full circle, just so good.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it in the TV recap.
Yes.
But before we dive in, how was your evening? I had an unbelievable evening.
My evening was so good, mostly because I watched The Butler starting at around, I want to say, 4 o'clock, 5
sunset,
o'clock.
Sunset, nice.
Sunset, and I was just enraptured by this movie. And it really set the tone for the rest of my evening, where I was like in my feelings and just feeling everything.
I know.
But it was a good feeling too. And I don't know, I definitely just cultivated a vibe without really realizing it.
That is the best type of vibe. It's the organic vibe.
And also, I had to get a wax yesterday, which I was like so dreading. I was just dreading the pain like more than ever. And so to be post-wax, to be the furthest away from ever needing a wax, like I was just in a really good mental health space.
Bliss. Well, I ventured to Jersey City last night to go to the movies. I don't think this is a big deal for most people because AMC at their theaters like around the country are letting you rent a theater in COVID for $100, like a whole theater. So I literally went with a couple of Ben's friends because they were celebrating one of his birthdays. So it was like 10 people. And we watched School of Rock, which was, I don't know who chose the movie. I think it was the birthday boy. The best selection ever. And like no one was in the theater. So everyone was like dancing at the end, like just banging their heads. It was so fun. The concession stand was fully open. I had pretzel bites, pizza, popcorn, Diet Coke. They were out of chicken fingers, which was really fucking annoying. But it was just like the full movie experience, and even better because no one was in the theater.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Was The Legend of the Rent way hardcore?
Way hardcore. And as I sat there drinking, I smuggled in some tequila. As I sat there drinking, I thought, I cannot believe this man did not win an Oscar or a Nobel Peace Prize for this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the way he just gives it all to this character. He gave it all
to School of Rock.
The thing is that I think that Jack Black himself is probably very similar to Dewey Finn. Not Ned Schneebly. You get confused. You think that's his name, but he was pretending to be Ned Schneebly. I think, like, as a person, they probably are very similar, like, just, like, love to dance and jam. So I don't think it was, like, that hard for him, because he loves to pop and lock and jam and break. But I just couldn't believe, like, we did not recognize this performance as an Oscar-worthy performance.
Yeah, the Oscars get it so wrong sometimes.
So wrong. And talk about a star-studded cast. Miranda Cosgrove, Joan Cusack.
Yes.
Sickening.
Sarah Silverman.
She plays, like, this really naggy girlfriend. Ugh, she's the worst in that movie.
Yeah.
Every time she shows up, it's like, ugh, the killjoy is here.
It's such a good movie. Wow, I'm so glad you had that experience. And I did think that today you looked like you had a case of stick-it-to-the-man-iosis.
It's contagious, and I got it at the movie theaters.
Yeah, so you might want to just keep an eye on that.
Obviously, everyone was worried about COVID because, you know, we're living in a pandemic, but everything, they really sanitized the whole place. Everyone was wearing masks. But nobody really remembered that stick-it-to-the-man-iosis is also highly contagious. It's a rare blood disease. And, you know, it got the best of me.
It got the best of you, for sure. Well, good luck in your recovery.
And if you haven't been to an AMC theater, like, no, I don't think $99 is a bad price to rent out an entire theater. Mm-hmm. You bring 10 people, you each pay $10.
You get to choose whatever movie you want to see.
Yeah, so I think if you want to see, like, a new movie that's, like,
In theaters,
it's way more.
Yeah.
But I don't... You can rent it at home for $9. Like, I want to go and watch Mean Girls.
Like, The Butler.
Literally.
I was actually thinking, like, it's probably an amazing movie to see
in a theater.
Because
it was gorgeous. Yeah. Like, it was so well done. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about it.
So
maybe we just
jump right in because we have so much to say. And also, we have if you're listening to the podcast, an interview with a very special guest. Meredith Marks from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City joined us yesterday. And she was everything of the sort. She did choose to engage with us. And that
Which was such an honor.
Such an honor. So exciting. So enjoy that. And if you're watching on YouTube, head over to the podcast to hear from her.
Because it'll be after.
We're looking at the season holistically and talking about her experience as a...
Disengager
and just as a housewife, a first-time housewife. And it's all very exciting.
Yeah, she's just a fabulous woman. I was so excited to talk to her.
Yeah. So without further ado...
You think?
I think so.
Fabulous.
Without further ado, it is time for the past five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And while you're not incorrect, I do think it's important heading into the weekend that everyone remembers if you've got a case of the RDH, you know what'll help? Usual wines.
Oh, yes.
They're for the modern drinker, where each of their bottles is 6.3 ounces, which is a heavy pour, or about a glass and a half of wine. So there's no more pouring wine down the sink when you don't want to finish the bottle. Because of the single-serve format and bottle designs, Usual is always fresh, so you'll have no more flat bubbly or stale rosé. Their wines are all low-carb and have 0 grams of sugar. They have a red blend, a rosé, and a sparkling white wine called Brut. They also have the Usual Spritz, which is a low-alcohol, low-calorie wine spritzer that's made of sparkling wine and guava juice. So it's like a White Claw, but for grown-ups. Each of the servings have just 83 calories. So Usual Wines just, like, keeps everything in mind. They keep the caloric density in mind. They keep the portion size in mind. They've just got wine covered from A to Z, and they offer different types of wine, and there's just no reason that you shouldn't be drinking Usual Wine.
Yeah, they've got wines down to a science.
You said it, not me. Go check out their website, which is www.usualwines.com, and use our discount code TOAST for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on us. Again, that's usualwines.com and use our discount code TOAST for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on us.
Love it. Okay, first story. Ryan Seacrest exits as host of Ease live from the red carpet.
I feel like he's really had one foot out the door, like, for the last few years.
I know, but it's crazy that he's, like, making it official, but also it's a good time to make it official when there's really, like, no red carpet. So by the time they all come back, it'll be like, Ryan who?
Also, this just reminded me that I had the weirdest dream about Juliana Rancic. Like,
ooh.
She was, like, at this, like, beach birthday party with the Kardashians. It was so bizarre. Like, why do I dream about these things? I'll never know.
Sounds entertaining,
though. Sounds like I bring my work home with me.
Yeah, it does. The longtime figure on Ease Live from the red carpet is stepping away from the award show grind. He said, quote, after 14 years of hosting Ease Live from the red carpet, I've decided to move on to new adventures. I'll miss the whole crew that worked so hard behind the scenes. And of course, my amazing partner, Juliana. Thanks to everyone for watching all these years.
You know, that's a big blow for E! Because they just have not had a good few years in terms of content.
But everything must come to an end. And you know what? It's exciting for whoever's going to come up and fill this spot.
Honestly.
And now there's an opportunity. There's a job open. And they have some really good hosting talent at E! And I look forward to seeing who gets this position. I feel like it'll probably be Jason Kennedy just like moving up, but then that means someone gets Jason's spot.
Right. Oh, that's true. I do think that Justin Sylvester is like the future Ryan Seacrest of E.
He's the man for
the job. If he doesn't get snatched up by like the Today Show, like that's how big of a star he is and how good at his job he is. But I also think like him and Tanya Rad are like this new generation of red carpets. Like Tanya's been doing E! Red Carpets now for like a few years. And like, it's not always the main thing, but she's like, they're both getting up there, and I do think like that's the future of the network, and I'm so pleased with it. That gives me hope for E! When like, honestly, for the last, like, remember when they thought Busy Tonight was a good idea? Like, they obviously have a judgment problem.
Yeah, no, but they do really get it right when it comes to hosts, and they have a lot of hosts who are young and coming up who are really, really talented. Obviously Tanya, Justin,
Erin Lim,
Zuri Hall. There are just so many great people. Carissa, Nina.
Yeah.
So I think that when it comes to hosting, E! Is still where you want to be.
Yes. No, they've actually done a good job of like transitioning from E! News to Daily Pop. Like their news programming is good, but what they fill the rest of the hours with, like reality shows, they just cannot seem to get it right.
Right. I would imagine though that those are two different departments with different heads.
I agree.
And one person's doing a really good job.
One person's getting fired and one person's not, essentially.
Yeah. So I think this is just exciting hosting news. Goodbye to Ryan Seacrest. He served us well over the years.
So who would you think was the Ryan Seacrest before Ryan Seacrest? Joan Rivers?
No, I feel like the answer... Oh, I guess.
Yeah. Because she is the queen of red carpet. She invented red carpet interviews.
Yeah.
She invented Who Are You Wearing?
Yeah. I'd have to think about it. But yeah, I guess so. But I guess also before E's Live from the Red Carpet, which has been on for 14 years with Ryan, it wasn't as big of a thing as it is right now.
Yeah, but it was Joan.
But it was Joan. But it wasn't Joan called. Is in a different league. Like, I don't compare Joan Rivers to Ryan Seacrest. I just don't.
No, I would never dare do that.
Never dare sully her name like that.
But I do think it's good. Ryan Seacrest has got to give up, like, a few of his jobs. Like, there's truly only so much one person can do. And when we saw him have that, like, mini stroke on live television, we knew it was time for him to give something up. This is not even the most, like, labor-intensive of his jobs. I do think that, like, his workload is not even going to be that much lighter.
Yeah, it's like...
three times a year.
This is three times a year and, like, not even this year.
Right. So it's like, you need to take off one more thing from your plate. Like, I just want him to slow down a little bit. Yeah. I worry about him.
I agree. But this is a good start for him and a great opportunity for someone else. I'm all about it.
What do you think is his best job? Like, he does Kelly, he does American Idol, he does the radio.
Yeah. He produces all of the, like, shows, Kardashians and such. But I do think that Live with Kelly and Ryan is a great
spot for him. I think, though, like, I think Live with Kelly and Ryan could exist without Ryan. I don't think his radio show could exist without him, and I don't think American Idol could exist without him.
Yeah, American Idol is probably the biggest one. Who's watching that?
I'm not going to lie. Like, if I were to scroll upon it, I'm just, like, always on my Netflix at the time when American Idol's on, but I live to watch people sing, especially when they're bad, so, like, I can understand people who watch American Idol.
I just feel like the percentage of time they actually spend singing in a two-hour program is, like, 5%.
That's my problem with those shows, like, The Voice. You get so much, like, you get a package about someone's life and family, and they take them back to the farm. Like, it's so much content, and barely any of it is actual singing, and it's infuriating. That's why I follow The Voice on TikTok. They put every performance up, a minute of the performance, and it's like watching the whole thing.
100%. I have a story later about Peloton, but this conversation is reminding me of a Peloton ride I did this week with Cody Rigsby, where it was, like, a lot of Kelly Clarkson songs on the playlist, and he just talks about how America was on the right side of history voting Kelly Clarkson as the first American Idol. Like, she was meant to be the first American Idol.
And, you know, I think as a country, like, we have not been that united in a so really long time. And
I agree.
And I think Kelly Clarkson knows that, and that's why she's continuing to spread her love and power.
I totally agree.
No, that's a hilarious, like, analogy.
We're going to talk about him in a little bit, but you would love him.
You also see that there's, like, a SoulCycle host who's, like, getting canceled.
Oh, yes, because she got the vaccine, even though she is clearly not...
very physically able.
Yeah. And she called herself an educator, like, in order to get it. That's how, like, much she thinks
And did she tell people that on the SoulCycle class?
Well, so I think that she... I haven't looked into it too much, but from what I understand based on hearsay, so I might be getting it wrong, like, she posted that she got the vaccine, and then people were like, what the fuck, why are you getting the vaccine? And then...
she might be the least eligible person in the country.
Right. And then it turned out that she had said she was an educator in order to get the vaccine. That's what I think.
That's shady. And, like, she is an educator,
Please.
But not, yeah.
I'm an educator then.
No, actually, my mother-in-law is an educator for special needs, and she and my father-in-law just got the vaccine.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Just got it yesterday.
That's so exciting.
Ben has been, like, so worried about them. I feel such a, like, burden. Like, it's just very scary. Like, of course, everyone's afraid of COVID, but, like, when you're older, it really impacts you more. So I'm so relieved. Like, at least, like, for me a little bit, it feels like the end is near.
Yes.
Because they finally got vaccinated. It's so exciting.
Okay, ready for our next story?
Yes.
Erica Jane and Tom Girardi's $16 million mansion has been burglarized.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is just weird.
This is weird. Erica and Tom's mansion was burglarized last month.
Oh, my God. Truckers for Tom.
The Truckers for Tom are saying, listen cautiously.
No, they said, something's awry. Did you hear that?
Something is amiss.
Something's awry.
Something is not as it seems.
Okay, so.
Police received a burglary report late at night on January 22nd, and responding officers discovered signs of forced entry through a broken window. Authorities confirmed to Law 360. Detectives are reportedly unsure of what was stolen from the estate. The Pasadena PD didn't immediately return Page Six's request for comment. Tom has been living alone in the house since Erica moved into a $1.5 million home since they divorced.
Oh, I didn't know that he was still living there. I thought maybe it had been like a seized property.
Yeah, I think that this is just, well, I mean, on the one hand, like, we've come to learn that homes in California get burglarized.
It's a common thing.
It's a common thing, but I just think the timing is
suspicious.
Suspicious.
Yes, I agree. I mean, the thought of Tom being there alone, like, makes me so sad that, like, a burglar was there. Thank God he wasn't harmed.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Just given the fact that there's so much unfolding, so much financial questions.
Turmoil.
Yeah. It's just odd timing. But again, it is a really common thing that happens in LA. But I don't know. I definitely feel like there's more here. Do you know what was taken?
No. That was all the details that Page Six had.
Do you think it was Erica just trying to get, like, the rest of her stuff back?
Like, that is a thought that crossed my mind.
It's Mickey Minden, like, in a ski mask, like, looking for the Chanel.
Yeah, that's a thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that that's what happened.
Mickey's so ride or die, he would do that shit for Erica.
100%.
And we stand a loyal friend and stylist and choreographer.
We do.
We do. And producer.
He really does.
He wears many hats for Erica.
He does. He's Mr. Hats.
My favorite thing about watching old reality television, like, no matter what it is that you can find Mickey Minden in an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, America's Next Top Model. Like, he has been on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just fun to see.
He dances with Christine Quinn these days.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
In that Playhouse
thing.
He's
like, if you're not a fabulous reality star, don't talk to me.
I don't want it.
Okay, next story. Exciting news. The Super Bowl is this weekend. I will be making a homemade spinach artichoke dip. And the weekend will not be having any special guests during his performance. And the Truckers endorse that decision.
That is crazy. Like, people are trying to work here, Truckers.
No, but they're like, listen, weekend, it's all you. You got this.
I saw some promo videos and stuff, like, getting me hyped. And honestly, it worked. I was feeling excited.
He confirmed in an interview on the NFL Network on Thursday that he has no special guests lined up to join him on stage during his performance.
That's good. I like, just let someone live.
Let the town speak for itself.
Agreed.
I like this. And I like that I know beforehand. That way I'm not like, wait, who, where?
Yeah.
And then I'm like weirdly disappointed, even though it's a fabulous show.
Yeah. When we're at the Super Bowl.
Wow, this is, they really just want everyone to know.
Okay.
These are Truckers for the weekend.
Can I stand up, open the window, and tell that guy to shut the fuck up?
No, because he won't hear you. Then
no, I think he will.
Then you're screaming into the show.
No, and my mic is over here.
He's just a Trucker for the weekend. Like, let him stand.
If he does it again, I'm getting up, okay?
Let him stand.
So when we went to the Super Bowl in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and Justin Timberlake was the disgraceful Super Bowl performer.
Yes.
Did he bring anyone out, like, NSYNC?
He brought out the hologram of Prince.
Right, okay. And then the night before the Super Bowl, we were partying and we ran into Joey Fatone. And we, like, 100% thought that there was going to be an NSYNC reunion. Do you remember that?
Yes, and he told us that there would not be.
Right, no, but I thought he was just being coy because, like, it's a secret. I'm like, right. Joey!
Right.
But, like, I literally have a picture of us and Joey Fatone. And I thought because we discovered he was in Minneapolis, I thought that we were, like, in on a secret. And, of course, he couldn't say it. But, no, he was not lying. He was being 100% truthful that he was not performing. And I actually think, like, some people, like Justin Timberlake, like, could have used NSYNC.
Oh, you know what? I totally agree. I think that would have given his performance the oomph that it needed.
A little edge.
Instead, he got Selfie Kid and, like, Backpack Boy, right? Those are
not
both.
Backpack Boy, but the,
where's
he got
Backpack Boy from?
Selfie Kid. Backpack Kid is actually like went viral on the internet. He invented the floss dance.
No, but
dance.
Like I feel like he was a background
dancer.
He
came
dance.
Out. Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, yeah.
Yeah, but no, Selfie Kid was invented. Like, no, he was literally forced on us during, like, when things go viral, like, it's very organic.
Yeah.
Literally nobody, like, cared.
No.
But some, like, talent manager in LA, like, saw it and was like, I'm gonna make this kid a star. And just, like, put him everywhere. And, like, it wasn't even a natural thing. Like, nobody remembered
it. Nobody was like, I want to know more about this kid.
Yeah, and it wasn't a thing that went viral on Twitter, like, left shark. Like, yeah. You can't make viral moments like that happen. And there was some machine behind Selfie Kid, like, trying to make
him the
fetch
next
happen.
Mason Ramsey.
Yeah, and it was so not going to happen. No disrespect to him, but I wonder what he's up to.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's money. Up to.
Anyways, The Weeknd said, I've been reading a lot of rumors. There wasn't any room to fit it in the narrative and the story I was telling in the performance, so there was no special guests. No. So all of our speculation from last week, if you're rewatching old episodes, just skip over that part.
We talked like at length.
And ultimately, I'm here for this decision. I'm really excited for his performance. And I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl because I'm like going to be doing it differently because I think it's just going to be like me, Zach, and Bruce and my spinach artichoke dip. And I invited you over if you'd like to come.
Yeah, I didn't know it was like a family thing. Maybe now I won't come.
No. I think it would be fun. Bring Theo.
No,
and that way the boys could play.
Okay.
And we need to place our picks for once and for all.
I did.
You did. Who's yours?
What? Kansas City.
Okay. I'm going Bucks.
That's, I don't like that we're on different sides. And like, I know I'm going to lose.
No, I don't really feel great about my choice because I feel like it's...
Obvious.
I feel like I'd rather pick Kansas City and be wrong than pick the Bucks and be wrong.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
No, my pick is officially in. I'm curious if The Weeknd is going to perform his Super Bowl in his plastic surgery fodge.
Oh.
Because that's like fake, right?
Yeah. No, that's like part of his new album. So I think no, because I feel like he'll be performing songs from all of his albums.
And these events are like historic. Like it's not like a tour. Like these live in a time in history. Like,
yes.
It's not to represent like a certain
it's
era.
It's not like a moment in time.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll be doing the crazy face. I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't also.
It scares me.
Okay, so that's your pick, Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick Bucks.
Yeah, no, I want to be on Jackson Mahomes' side. And that is...
He needs you.
No, he does. I feel like very defensive over Jackson Mahomes because yes, could he be doing more to help himself with the cringy content? Yes, but kids are so fucking mean to him and I won't stand for it. And he does not let it bother him. Like he just keeps going and makes more cringy and even more like embarrassing videos. And I kind of respect the fact, like I wish I gave so little of a shit about what people thought about me. It's really admirable. We could all learn something from Patrick Mahomes' brother.
Yes. Okay, next up, a little biz fitness news. We have two...
A little biz fitness news.
We have two stories, two Peloton headline-worthy news stories.
Okay.
First, Peloton is spending $100 million to reduce delivery delays.
Oh, that's their only problem.
Yeah, well, there just is so much demand right now. But if you order a bike right now, it says it won't come until April. But Now they are working OT to remedy the situation. They are putting $100 million into speeding up deliveries, including improving its air and ocean shipping and doubling the size of its customer service support to help assuage anger.
You know what? This is good, but they should have done this sooner because I think part of the reason why the launch of SoulCycle Bike was even remotely successful is because people chose it over waiting 3 to 4 months for a Peloton. It wasn't necessarily that they liked SoulCycle better. It was like, which one? They're the same thing. Which one can I get faster?
Yeah.
And a lot of people got them in quarantine, which was when Peloton's delivery window was the biggest it ever was, and when SoulCycle launched, and they had like really quick delivery. So I know a few people who only got the SoulCycle bike because it didn't have that waiting list.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that. I feel like SoulCycle bikes did well because there's so much demand for at-home workout equipment right now, but I feel like Peloton is just through the roof.
No, Peloton's killing it. Like
Peloton to the moon.
SoulCycle like is nothing compared to Peloton, but I think a lot of people bought SoulCycle bikes instead of Pelotons just because of the weight. Not because they preferred one bike over the other.
Got it. Well, hopefully now the wait times are shorter. Everyone can get to riding. I got back on my Peloton this week, and I just can't believe it took me so long. But I needed a break, you know, and I needed to come back and, like, appreciate it.
Yep.
And also, I was wondering, but another story, Peloton instructor Cody Rigsby, who's my favorite instructor, reveals that he has COVID as he cancels his popular class.
Oh.
So this is so interesting because, you know, a lot of people, celebrities, have COVID, but because he has it, like, he can't teach and he still isn't feeling better, and it's probably going to take a while before he can
get back
on the bike and teach, because it takes so much effort and energy to do a Peloton ride, but to do it while you're having the most energy, talking, keeping everyone up, like
singing,
you can't really be having any sort of health compromise.
You know, there are definitely like celebrities who have had COVID and are lying about it and just not telling anyone. And there are certain celebrities who can't do that. Like if Kelly Ripa got, she can't. Like she goes into a studio and does a live show every day. So it's actually interesting to see people who are open and honest about it. But also because they can't not be. Like, he's obviously not going to be at work for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, he said, unfortunately, I've been dealing with COVID-19 for the past 2 weeks. He went on to encourage his followers to take the virus seriously. He said, I've never been more sick in my entire life. So
that's crazy because he's like peak health fitness.
Right. He said he still has lingering symptoms, including extreme fatigue and a cough, adding that for the most part, I'm doing a lot better. So I just wonder when he will be able to teach again. And I was wondering where he had been because I came back to the bike and there weren't that many new Cody classes.
Right.
But I didn't think anything of it.
I also think it's interesting how like Peloton has created a new tier of celebrity, which is like celebrity Peloton teachers. Cody and Robin NYC are like two of the most famous Peloton instructors. And I just think it's so interesting how like that's now a level of celebrity. Like he got COVID and it's a news story.
100%. And like, while I felt this way while I was Pelotoning, you know, a few months ago, and I feel this way again, where it's like, if you Peloton every single day and you choose the same few instructors, like these people are such a big part of your life. It's like almost like a podcast. Yeah. And Cody is just so funny. I was doing a class with him this week and he was talking about how when he was in school, he used to have to sell magazines for the school, like Nickelodeon
magazine. Right, right, right. Yeah, like highlights.
This con man used to come to our school every week, and I was just like laughing so hard. Like,
no, that's true. Like, where do those funds go?
No, and like these, why are the kids selling magazines?
No, it's so true. You know, on my TikTok, there's like a Cody Rigsby fan page that like literally pops up all the time to like clips of him like being funny, and he's actually very personable. And, you know, like, when did I get married? 2017. So like 4 years ago, I did this photo shoot with The Knot, which was like, you know, influential women who are engaged. And I was one of them. And there was this like beautiful WNBA player and then Robin NYC. And that's where I met her. And I honestly knew her before now. Everyone knows she's famous, but I knew her before.
Robin is my second favorite Peloton instructor.
And she just
They're tied one and two because it's just like two different vibes. Like Cody is hysterical and Robin is like so inspiring.
Right.
So sometimes you need one or the other.
Do you
want to
laugh or you want to cry?
Right. No, literally, if I've ever cried on the bike, it's from a Robin class.
No.
No, she's so wonderful.
And I think I read somewhere she just gave birth or she's like about to give birth.
Yes. So it's very exciting. We're wishing Cody the best. And I'm just glad to be back in the Peloton family. Like I definitely, it's hard to get back on that bike, you know, mm-hmm. but I did four
workouts. I've never gotten on it. So I can imagine how hard it is to get back on it.
I worked out 4 days this week on the bike and I'm feeling good.
Yeah, no, I worked out 7 days. So you'll catch up to me soon.
And also just a reminder, if you are a toaster who uses the Peloton app, use the hashtag Pelotoasters. That way when we're riding, I filter by who else is a Pelotoaster and we all high five and see each other.
Cute.
And that makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah, it does. And then it's like, you don't want to like do bad because then it's like everyone will see your output or whatever. It's like so embarrassing.
But I don't even feel that way. When I'm riding with my Pelotoasters, it's like, I know they're encouraging me.
Family.
It's family. And also if you want to follow me, no, it really is. It's been like a big part of my
journey.
Just my year. If you want to follow me on Peloton, I always get questions. My username is Jackie OW. So,
Jackie Ow.
Because I'm in pain while I'm driving. No, because it's my initials. But follow me there. I think I do a really good job of class curation because I'm so big on music and I think that makes the class like
yes.
so. And I don't know if a lot of people spend the time to look at every single playlist for each class, but I always do and I always choose the best
yes.
playlist. So I think that I do a good job of picking classes.
Yes. I mean, I've only done SoulCycle in my life like probably 10 times. Like I'm being serious, like in my entire life. And if it's like the shittiest music or music, I don't know, like it's the most miserable experience. But if you're listening to like sickening music, it actually is like so empowering.
Yes.
Again, I've only done it a handful of times, but I just got to get the seat right. Like, I can't deal with that, like, big stick on my ass.
Yeah.
Speaking of stick on my ass.
It gets easier, but
I'm looking forward to talking about The Butler and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s presence in the movie.
Right.
Were those the Fast Five? Was there
no,
more?
No, we have one more.
Sorry.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, our fifth and final is
I do want to let everyone know something. Should
yes,
I? Should
yes, yes, because our fifth and final is going to lead into a Southern Charm recap. So if you have something to say, say it now.
No, I do. And what I have to say is that Snow is the sponsor of today's episode with over 500,000 happy customers, including, you know, we're obsessed with celebrities. Rob Gronkowski loves Snow, Floyd Mayweather, and Miss Universe. So it is teeth whitening designed to be pain-free for people with sensitive teeth. This is me. This is Ben. Like, you know, when you get that sensitive thing and like your whole body freezes.
You can feel it in your toes.
Yeah, it's literally
it
the worst.
It starts in my toes. It's crinkle my nose.
So over $1.4 million have been spent in research and development to create the strongest teeth whitening kit possible from Snow. It comes with a 6-month supply of whitening serum, so Anytime your smile needs a touch up, you're good to go. The power of a white smile is it's powerful. I mean, it gives you confidence, makes you feel good about yourself. And if you have sensitive teeth, so you like cringe when you see people like chewing on ice, which I do, it's so, so painful. Then you know that sometimes teeth whitening kits or going to the dentist, like it's not good because it leaves you in a lot of pain. So snow basically has all the effects of teeth whitening that are out there, but then they really focus on having it be for people with sensitive teeth. I mean, Jackie literally can't even brush her teeth with anything other than like sensitive toothpaste. Like,
yeah,
it's a real problem, and that's why a lot of people don't whiten their teeth. So it's good to know about Snow, which is like a company dedicated to whitening your teeth and also protecting the sensitivities of your teeth. So if you have sensitive teeth like us, you need to go to trysnow.com right now and use our code TOAST for 15% off. Again, that's TRYSNOW.com. Trysnow.com, and the code is TOAST for 15% off. Snow has spent over $1 million to create a teeth whitening kit designed for people with sensitive teeth. We decided to put them to the test. The gel definitely works, and I can say I've had no sensitivity like outbursts, which is just, oh my God, like you feel it in your brain. It's the worst. So trysnow.com, code TOAST, highly recommend.
Okay, fifth and final story. I just realized that it's literal fake news.
Oh my God, that's the worst.
I know, because it's an E! News story that says Kristen Cavallari proves she's team J-Lo after A-Rod and Madison LaCroix revelation, because Justin Anderson posted a video of them working out. Like,
okay, with, I actually don't think this is fake news.
No, with the song Let's Get Loud. But then Kristen put on her story, and I had seen her story and I saw this story and I just realized how they intersect. She wrote on her story, so a friend posts a year-old video of us working out and now I'm being accused of throwing shade. Fuck off, tabloids. I'm so sick of your lies and bullshit and clickbait. Can everyone stop trying to drag me into this drama mess, please? It has nothing to do with me and I want no part of it. So maybe
I Justin, so disagree with
maybe
her.
Maybe Justin Anderson like was being shady.
I don't think Justin Anderson but, like, posts this anything headline publicly.
Of Kristen taking a stance in J-Lo. Oh, yeah. Like, no.
That's fake news. But I do think that there's a little bit of lies but in Kristen's Instagram story, because like anything Justin Anderson posts about this or with Kristen like is approved by Kristen. Like they're best friends. This was such an intentional, not shade even, but just like, so it was something.
It was something.
So just to deny it completely is a lie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was a little shade. Like, there's something. She didn't take a stand. Like, it's not that serious, but.
And she didn't post the video, you know. It's too.
The tabloid took it too extreme, but also Kristen's defense is full of lies. Like, there's something there. Like, don't lie.
Okay, well.
What a random song to choose. It's not like it's a, you know.
Current number one, like, everyone's just trending.
Yeah, no.
It's a great song, though.
It's probably my favorite song, and I remember it being my favorite song at Bat Mitzvah season, because that was, like, really when the song came out, like, when we were, like, 13, 14, and I just, like, could not wait for that song to come on. It's the best song.
It's the best song, but a little Southern Charm recap, because I...
Yeah, tell me what happened.
I expect that you'll watch it. So they... The A-Rod stuff doesn't come up again in the episode, but we lead off with Madison and Austin talking about their relationship. And Austin had said that just the night before he watched all the episodes, he hadn't watched it yet. And like, so I think that he had, you know, this enlightening moment the night before where it's like, I have to be done with Madison. She does not care about me. The way she talks about me to other people is clear that like, I'm just nothing to her. Like she doesn't care about me. And so he really has this like moment where he's like, you're a monster. And I think that their relationship is so toxic. And I think Austin is clearly very wounded by it, but the way that Craig, Austin, and a little bit of Shep came after Madison last night, it's like no situation should ever be 3-on-1 in a relationship between two people.
No, I agree. Like, it's always been, it's not really ever been a question about, like, are Madison and Austin good for each other? I think most people would agree that they're not. It's just nobody's business. And, like, I love Craig, and I do think he's not wrong in what he's saying, but it's literally none of his business.
Right. Also, Craig is clear in the second part of the episode. He's extremely drunk, like, and he's just saying...
During the reunion.
Like, they're all, like, drinking during the reunion. I don't know. He's not, like, belligerent, but it's clear that he's just drunk. He can't stop talking. Everyone's like, shut up, please.
Oh my God.
And also, I think that it's also clear that he has heard the fact that he's pretty much right usually on the show. So I think he just like
he's getting high
drunk and knows that whatever he or thinks that whatever he's saying is right, and it's just like can't shut
drunk
up.
Drunk on like his own power.
Right. And so I think he needed to take
several seats.
But I still love him, and it was really, really funny. But it was just a lot, and he was getting so involved in everyone else's drama and was like, Craig, please shut up,
no,
actually.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, it was annoying, but also very funny.
Yeah.
A majority of the rest of the episode was talking about Catherine's drama this year and the way that everybody else reacted to it and what everyone sort of wanted from her. And it's very clear the point where they're filming, like, all the season was very frustrating to watch because it felt like she wasn't taking it seriously. She wouldn't have a conversation about it. She was just dodging questions. But at the reunion, like, you know, she has to sit there and talk about it. And I felt like she finally really understood the impact of what had happened. And mm-hmm. she felt so badly about everything. And I felt like, you know, that moment of her being contrite and apologetic, like, came.
And it was genuine.
And it was definitely genuine. I mean,
it's literally a year so late.
Her and Leva, even off stage, like, had a moment of seeing each other.
Okay.
And, like, Catherine also accused Leva of, you know, using her mistake to come up on this show. And
well, it does appear that way via the editing. But yes. I feel like now, as an informed viewer, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case. And Leva just is constantly insisting, no, Catherine, I am your friend. I am not your enemy here. Right. Like, I just want to see you learn from this and move forward. And I think that the whole episode, it was just really... It ended on just a really positive note. Also, they talked a lot about, like, the legacy of slavery in Charleston and how, you know, some viewers, when you're watching the show, it's like you look at some of the cast members and it's like, did your families own slaves?
It's a valid question.
And so they have a conversation about the history and legacy of all of it. And I think that they came to a really good place in the end of, like, just the things that we can do to be positive moving forward and undo a lot of that hurt.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's why I feel like I was so disappointed in Catherine this season, obviously because of the emoji thing, but more so because, like, it was like this moment in Charleston and the Calhoun statue was, like, such a conversation topic, and it actually did end up getting taken down. And it just would have been powerful for Catherine, a direct descendant of John Calhoun, to have been a part of it. And, like, that was disappointing.
Well, they mentioned it on the reunion and she said that she was so happy to see it come down. She actually loved watching it on the show and seeing how much it meant to Leva. She completely understood it and felt really good about the decision. And so I feel like for a very difficult season for a number of reasons, like the second part of the whole reunion really covered everything. And I just felt like it was a really big learning process for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think you should watch it. I thought it was
I'm gonna watch it when I get home. I got drunk last night and I got home so late.
Mm-hmm. No worries. You're a best-selling author. Things happen.
Yeah, no, I've been, like, so messy this week. I watched Salt Lake City before talking to Meredith Marks, but not in time for yesterday's episode. I didn't watch this. I forgot to edit the audio. Like, I've just been a mess. I promise I'll be back on my shit on Monday. I'm just celebrating. This morning I also made 3 Wall Street Journal's bestsellers list. Oh, did I say this already?
You didn't go into it. If you want to hit us with the numbers.
Yeah, no, I made...
Why don't you hit us with the numbers? Sure, because sure. Like, you know.
Yeah, no.
The numbers are impressive.
You're 100%. 100%. Okay, here. So, of course, everyone knows I made number 12 New York Times bestsellers list
number in fucking nonfiction.
12. Number fucking 12. I've also made 3 Wall Street Journal lists. I've made number 6 in hardcover nonfiction, number 3 in nonfiction ebooks, and number 5 in nonfiction combined.
Wow.
Then, of the 150 books, best-selling books in the country, according to USA Today, I was the 22nd most popular book, and that's all genre, kids, hardcover, non-cover, all the stuff. I also made the Publishers Weekly list, number 10 overall, number 5 Publishers Weekly in hardcover nonfiction. And then I made 2 Canadian lists. I have to say, Canadian toasters are fucking chef's kiss. Number 6, and apparently these are big deals. Number 6, well, of course, like, that's what people tell me. They're not going to tell me it's not a big deal. Number 6 on the Globe and Mail hardcover nonfiction list, and number 5 on the Toronto Star hardcover nonfiction. Actually, I've heard of the Toronto Star.
Wow.
So thank you to all these wonderful organizations who saw me. I actually tagged Wall Street Journal Books, like, in my thing, and they responded to me.
Oh my God, cuties.
Hearts. I said, thank you for this prestigious honor.
That's so cute. Yeah. So you were busy.
No, I was so busy, and then I, like, got drunk, and just, like, things happened. But I did watch The Butler.
Yes, but just a quick Salt Lake City recap of the episode, which I actually thought, like, considering it was an amazing season and this was the finale episode, it wasn't a very good episode.
And it felt like the finale came out of nowhere.
Yeah. But the big, you know, pinnacle moment was Heather and Jen talking. And I felt like, one, like, Jen Cha finally understands how frustrating it is to apologize and have someone, like, not forgive you.
But
and
I
not
don't think she's self-aware enough to realize, like, that's what she's been doing the whole season.
Right, but she's, like, that she is stuck in that position now. And also, I just felt like Heather was, like, not letting it go. It was also her event, and she was making it such a big deal. And it's, like, Jen apologized as much as she possibly could in that moment. And it was, like, what Meredith said on the episode, and she also says it in our interview. It's, like, it's, you know, you apologize, and you can be forgiven and open to moving forward. It's just those actions moving forward need to reflect your words.
Yeah.
And so only time will tell. So that's my thoughts on Salt Lake City finale.
I'm very much looking forward to the reunions. Like,
me too.
Because there's so Mary hasn't been with the group all year.
I've just been living for reunions lately.
And by the way, it's the best part of the season. Even a bad season, a good season. I first of all love seeing them in a different element, mm-hmm. especially a new show. Like, you really get to know them and how they talk and how they act and how they fight. And it's, I love seeing Andy. Like, it's really, and they ask like the shadiest fucking questions.
Yeah.
I love reunions.
I just want to say another thing that made the Southern Charm reunion so great is that Andy is so interested
yes.
and involved in this show. Like, he definitely I don't get the feeling that he doesn't watch it. I think he has a lot of friendships with a lot of the people on the cast, and he has opinions, and it just, it feels like sometimes he's just one of like the cast
one
members.
Of them, yeah.
Whereas on some of the Real Housewives franchises, it's like he's very much the boss man, and these
yes
are, and I just thought that the rapport,
they feel like equals.
The rapport was really enjoyable.
I agree, that's a great call. Okay, we have to talk about The Butler. Like, I've been dying
okay,
to talk
yes,
about
please.
It I loved this movie, and I feel like I was thinking, like, of course I was excited to do Toe's Movie of the Week, but like the fact that this movie, like, that I might not have seen this movie, I'm just so grateful to have seen this movie. And I was a little disappointed when I learned afterwards, like, it's based loosely off a guy named Eugene, but like most of the things that happen in the movie like didn't happen in real life, but whatever, I can suspend disbelief and just enjoy this movie that was so fucking star-studded. I could not believe it. They covered so much time in history, so there was just so many people who needed to be cast.
Yes.
When the movie opened and Mariah Carey was his mom, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting to see her.
No, totally. As a student of history, like, it focuses on like a 30-year historical period, and I just thought it was so interesting. And also, I was just talking about this on the Redheads. I love when like a book I read or a show or a TV movie that I watch like informs the next thing that I'm watching, and I feel like I know more about what I'm watching because of the last thing. Mm-hmm. So I felt like with this movie, there were so many other mini movies within it. Like
Selma.
I felt like it was reminding me certain moments of Black Klansman, even in,
yes, me too.
In the 80s with South Africa and apartheid. I was reminded of The Color of Friendship.
And The Crown.
And then also in the beginning when Mariah Carey's in it, she talks, I just read her book a few months ago, and she talks about how big of a moment that was for her to be included in this movie.
Right.
And like, for Lee Daniels to
see her.
Have her in it. And I felt like so many things that I had previously watched or read were just a part of this movie.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. For me, like, the biggest takeaway I took from the movie was, like, of course, like, I think it's amazing that, like, I was alive and, like, living in the era when we had our first Black president, and that's amazing. But I didn't really think about how you think of, like, slavery and Jim Crow as, like, so long ago, and it's not. It never even occurred to me that there were people who saw Obama get elected who were born on plantations, like, the mm-hmm. story, like, and I didn't know they were going to cover so much time in the movie, but when it literally flashed to 2008 and he's wearing an Obama shirt, I couldn't believe it. And that's when I really, really got choked up, because it's like, I think no matter, you know, your politics, like, to see the story of someone who was born on a fucking plantation, who then got to grow up and see a Black man become president, like, that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure he never in his lifetime thought that he was going to see something like that.
Yeah.
And so I actually loved that they covered so much of the movie, and I think they did so much time, and I think they did an amazing job of aging everyone, like Oprah
yes.
and Forrest Whitaker.
Yes.
It was just and also like they did a great job of like setting the scene. It was fabulous and interesting to learn about what goes on in the White House. Like, it was just like this inside look.
That they have
look
like 2 hours
before. To inauguration.
Yeah.
And just like the different first ladies. It was just fascinating. I just loved the movie.
Right. From a historical perspective, like seeing all of these different presidents, like seeing Lyndon B. Johnson on
take
the
a dump. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was that? Like, no, but just getting a little bit more of every person's personality. And of course, like the castings for a lot of these historical figures were like so on point.
Minka Kelly as Jackie O and James Marsden as JFK, like, need their own biopic.
Yeah.
It was
no,
just cast.
Robin Williams as President Eisenhower. There were so many.
Professor Snape as
Alan
Reagan.
Rickman as Ronald Reagan, and John Cusack as Richard Nixon.
Yes, who was such a freak. And then I loved, even though like I cannot stand Cuba Gooding Jr. and the character he played in the movie is actually like loosely based off of him because he was like gross. But Lenny Kravitz, like, I just could, Terrence Howard, I couldn't believe how like literally everyone had turned around. I think it might be the most star-studded movie I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
And Forrest Whitaker was unbelievable. I'm sure he won an Oscar or a few. He was incredible. Like, just Oh, so good. And I really, another thing I took away from the movie that I found to be so interesting is how he and his son, you know, had just completely differing opinions on how to exist as like a black man in a white world, where like for Forrest Whitaker, who was born on a plantation, like what he had was enough. Like he was just grateful to be off the plantation. Whereas his son, who was born much later, it wasn't enough to have this like fake equality. Like he wanted more, and rightfully so. And that scene where they're on the bus and they see a light and they're like, what is that? And it was a burning cross. Oh my God. It just gave me such chills. Like when the second they realized it, and then it was too late for them to turn around. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was if you haven't seen it, and just it's, that's the type of movie that like changes how you see the world.
I completely agree.
I loved it so, so much.
I loved it so much. I'm so glad that we watched it. There were so many moments in it that just gave me chills, made me think like
And it gave me a lot of good historical context. Like I'm not the smartest when it comes to history and like all these presidents. I'm like, who was good, who was bad?
Yeah, and then I was doing like some Googling just to see more about certain things.
Yeah, and you know what I also took away from the movie that I really liked was that like all these presidents like were assholes. Like all of them. They like said one thing and then they did another, and like they were all just pieces of shit. And I think the only one, and I didn't even, you know what else I really didn't think about, had like, I think one of the only presidents who gave like African Americans hope at the time was JFK. Because, like, when JFK got shot after he made that very powerful speech, Cecil and his family, like, they were just devastated.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, presidents were assholes who did fucking nothing.
Yeah, but then I was like, well, why did JFK get shot?
Me too.
So I went researching, and, like, I really couldn't find an answer. And apparently it's, like, a conspiracy.
Well, it felt like it had something to do with his speech.
No, but then when you watch, like, we watched The Irishman last year, and it's, like, there's, like, mafia stuff.
Oh, you're right.
And I think there was, when I was reading, I was on, like, Wikipedia and, like, history.com. I was really trying to understand, like, no one could tell me, like, what was the motive.
Because
and
it seemed like
the person, Lee Harvey Oswald, who killed JFK, was also killed, like, that night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, by a nightclub person.
But the movie made it seem like he was killed for his, like, radical thoughts on racial equality.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if that's the case, because, like I said, I'm really not a history buff, but it just, the movie just taught me so much about American history that I'm, like, honestly embarrassed to not know.
Yeah.
But it was just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. If you
10 out of 10.
Watch it. If you've never seen it and you didn't get a chance to watch it this week, like, this is a movie that,
and I feel like we just stumbled upon it because I haven't heard of it as, like, the best movie ever. It's just, like, a great movie. I can't believe more people aren't talking about it. I know it came out, like, 6 years ago, but so good.
So incredibly good. It's a movie I'm going to be thinking about for a very long time.
Yes, I couldn't sleep last night. Like, I was just thinking about it the whole night.
Yeah, and I just feel like I'm so used to reading. I don't know if you feel this way now that you're reading on a Kindle, but do you ever use Kindle Highlights where you see
something? Very rarely.
Okay, well, sometimes when I'm reading, like, a really great book, I'll see something that just sticks with me and I highlight it. And now when I'm watching, like, wonderful movies or television shows, it's like,
you in my highlight mind, I'm
like,
subtitles. Wait,
like, someone says something and I'm like, can I highlight that?
Yeah.
So that's how I felt about that movie, like, so many highlights.
That's also the type of, oh my God, excuse me, movie I watched with subtitles because I just didn't want to miss any important factoids.
Totally agree. I've been watching a lot of things with subtitles
recently.
It's
our old age. I agree. I do it too.
You think it's our old age? I don't know. I think pretty much anything that's not reality TV,
yep,
I watch with subtitles, yep, now, just because I just want to make sure that I'm fully understanding everything, that I miss, mm-hmm, nothing.
Same, 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 sis. So we will sign another movie on Monday. I just saw that February 12th, Whitney Houston and Brandy's
Cinderella
is coming to Disney Plus. So that'll definitely be a future movie of the week, but we don't have one picked for next week. We'll announce it on Monday. So if you have recommendations, please feel free to drop them in our comment section.
We've gotten some really great recs.
Yeah, but other than that, have an amazing weekend. Enjoy our next interview with Queen Meredith Marks. You're going to love it. And after that, the weekend's in front of you. So enjoy it. Embrace it. Enjoy respect it.
Happy Super Bowl. Next time you see us, we'll know which one of us is the big winner. Should we place a little bet between the two of us?
$50. Shake on it. Clammy hands. Guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Meredith Marks interview. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye. We are so excited to be sitting down with our fellow Jewess, our Queen of Salt Lake City, Meredith Marks from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
We're honored that you chose to engage as opposed to disengage because we know you are the queen of disengaging, and it is the most elegant way to just step out of an argument. We respect it so much.
We really do.
Well, sometimes you know there's no winning, and when someone's real fired up and they're not listening and they're not speaking to you respectfully, it just, what's the point?
You have no choice.
You have no choice.
We're now heading into reunion. We got a whole season of Salt Lake City under our belt, under your belt, first season. How does it feel? Has your life changed a lot?
First of all, I think everybody's lives have changed a lot over the course of this year with COVID and just our social political state of the particular country, but the world in general. I think just by virtue of that alone, that's a massive change coupled with, you know, now people know who I am. Yeah, it's a very different thing than before, you know, and also, not even just from the outside perspective, but from internally, I have changed quite a bit because Housewives was a very big growth experience for me in a lot of ways, mostly positive. Not everything's positive, but mostly positive, because it really does force you to be introspective and reevaluate. And it's almost like when I went to law school, they teach you a certain way of thinking and reasoning, and this is certainly not legal reasoning by any stretch, but it really forces you to think about things in a much broader sense and how they affect everybody else and really take into account the impact of your words and your actions. Very different.
That's something that definitely comes through on your end while watching the show. First of all, the season is amazing. Like, this has just been such a treat for us to have a new franchise, and we absolutely love Utah.
Love.
Just the vibes of Salt Lake City are immaculate. And you're always like serving looks, bringing like just so much to the show, and we have been thoroughly enjoying it. So we just want to say
thank you for your work.
That. And also, I think that what you're referring to about having this broader perspective, like we really see in the way that you engage with the women, like I feel like you're approach to being a housewife is kind of really refreshing because you feel like the friend that we all want to have, where it's like you're a good friend, but you also speak the truth. You speak facts.
Yeah, very matter of fact, very reasonable.
I mean, thank you. I hope so. That's what I try to do. You know, it doesn't always work. Of course, sometimes emotion always gets in the way for all of us. And but I at least try to be aware of that. So I know that many times, you know, you predominantly see me stepping away from a situation and disengaging because of the way someone's speaking to me or whatever else. But I can also be on the other side of it. And I try to know when I'm going in that direction where it's going to become unproductive. And I try to step out because I don't know if the person I'm talking to is able to step out. Not everybody can.
Right. No, it's a very refined way of engaging as a housewife, and it's something we've never seen before. Also, I think something really refreshing about you is just coming on to the season and just being very open and vulnerable about the struggles in your marriage, which I think a lot of people can relate to. And we're used to seeing, you know, a lot of housewives just pretending like everything's okay. And then, you know, 1 second later, it's in the tabloids that they're getting divorced. So I think it's actually really refreshing and honest and vulnerable of you. And I definitely really appreciated it. I know some of the other women, they definitely took part in, you know, gossiping, mostly Jen Shah, gossiping about it. And that must have been really hard, I can imagine, like having to go through it, but then also like dealing with judgment from the others. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was sort of like, you know, Seth and I were in a space where we were genuinely trying to repair our marriage. And we had had years of us kind of sweeping it under the rug, like a lot of people do. I understand why people do that. You know, our children didn't know about our previous separations. Like, we wanted to try to create a happy space for them and a safe space for them. And so we really were very quiet about it. And then when we finally started to work on it, to have other people talking about you and, you know, talking about things that are not at all relevant. Seth and I were not dating other people last winter. Like, that was something that was in the past that we had done previously. We were desperately trying to fix everything, and we didn't need things stirred up. It was just, I don't understand it, because the only people it impacts are me, Seth, and my children. It has no impact on anybody else. So why do you care? Like, mind your own business. Worry about your own marriage. Stop projecting your problems on me.
And now, after the season finale, and you've already filmed the reunions, do you feel like at peace with the women, especially Jen, who, you know, was running around telling everyone about your separation before you? Do you feel like you got, you know, like that was reconciled?
Not entirely. The aspect of her talking about me behind my back, I think that's probably reconciled. You know, she apologized. What else can you do at that point? You know, it's, you can't change what's happened. Done is done. So, you know, like, I certainly acknowledge her apology, and you heard last night, I accept the apology, but I also question, you know, not necessarily the sincerity, but like, if are you able to be a good friend, you know, because your actions didn't show that. So you can say you're sorry 101 times, but if your actions aren't going to show that, then what difference does your apology make anyway? And so my view is, let's see how actions manifest. You know, words are meaningless without action. And so that's sort of how I left it, you know, there. And you know, after last night, there were more things that went on that caused more question marks in my head. And those are things that still need resolution, you know, with my relationship with Jen, not as it relates to her talking about my marriage, other stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a pattern we've seen. And it's kind of frustrating as a viewer to watch, you know, things get reconciled, you know, Jen apologizing to Mary or all these different instances, and then kind of reverting back, like the apology never happened.
And that's the thing, like, if I'm going to accept an apology, I'm going to accept it. It doesn't mean that you ignore what happened. It means that you are accepting that that person is remorseful for it. And how you interact and move forward with them, it's probably not going to be the same. I mean, of course, it depends on what they're apologizing for. But, you know, it's probably not going to be exactly the same. It's up to you to decide. So just because I say, yes, you know, I hear your apology and I accept it or whatever, doesn't mean that everything's just perfect again. It doesn't necessarily work that way, but it does mean that I acknowledge that you're remorseful and I forgive for myself. To me, forgiveness is always about yourself. It's not about the person. You know, not forgiving is more detrimental to me than it is to her, let's be honest.
Right.
And you see where it goes, you know, but it doesn't disappear.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we have a question for you, because we're very obsessed with like the logistics of reality TV show filming. And we're curious how you joined the cast of the show. What was the process like? And in the early episodes of season one, it seems as though there was footage from months prior. Did you guys film before you started filming what we're seeing now on the show?
So, well, first of all, I was contacted on a text from a friend of mine who owns a restaurant in Park City. It's my favorite restaurant handle. She said that her husband is a producer, and or her husband's college roommate is a producer, and they were interested in doing a show in Utah. Would I talk to them? And I said, sure, of course. I honestly thought that because I owned a store on Main Street, they just really wanted to kind of pick my brain a little bit about Park City. I didn't really know it was anything beyond that. And then, you know, it went from there. You know, we did film some stuff early. So, yes, there is some stuff that you saw that are flashbacks where, you know, there are moments that were a little bit earlier. Yeah.
Got it. It was cool to see.
I liked that.
Because it gave context. It's frustrating when we're hearing about, you said this back then, but we don't get to see it. So I actually really liked the way that it all progressed. I felt like we had a better understanding of the dynamics.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's helpful because, you know, it's hard. I think it's hard for everyone to understand that all of us are coming into this with a lifetime of history. And you're starting in the middle, you know. And it's like, you know, starting to read a book from chapter 10 instead of chapter 1. And so it's it is hard, I think, for sometimes for you guys to all get the context of everything because a lifetime has happened before. So I think, right. you know, any kind of flashback, any kind of thing like that is always very helpful. Or when we talk about, you know, stuff, you know, in confessionals that ties back to things that have happened earlier on in our lives to give a sense of context to who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to shift gears really quickly because I think one of the things that really drew me to the show is kind of how it focuses on this like subculture in Utah with the Mormon church. And I think everyone knows, you know, Utah has a lot of Mormons, but to see it and learn, you know, about the community is really, really interesting. And I also love that the cast is super diverse. Like, you are Jewish and, you know, we love to see a Jew being represented in The Real Housewives. It's everything of the sort. But I'm curious what the Jewish community in Utah is like. We actually vacation in Utah quite a bit and I've never seen another Jew.
Yeah, I mean, look, outside of Salt Lake City and Park City, it's like, probably, and I don't know, don't quote me on it, but 99.9% Mormon. I mean, it's right. very, you know, outside right. of Park City and Salt Lake, it's very much Mormon. However, in Park City, we have a small community here. We have a temple here. You know, for me, I am very, very proud of my history, very proud of my heritage. I'm not the most religious person, so... I, you know, I don't go to temple all that often, truth be told, okay. you know, but we do sometimes, and there is a community here, and I never, in Park City, I never felt uncomfortable, like, you know, as a minority because of being Jewish. I honestly probably had more anti-Semitism in Chicago growing up than I did ever in Park City.
Interesting.
So it's not like a, I don't know, at least up here, it's a pretty accepting community.
That's wonderful. Nice to hear. And you recently filmed the reunions. They're starting to air next week. It was obviously the first season, first time filming a reunion. What was that like? How long was the shoot day? How did you choose your outfit? Like, take us through the whole thing.
So, my outfit, you know, I worked with a Lebanese designer, Fadwa Babaki, on a custom look. I wanted something that ties back to my general aesthetic, which I think everybody knows is a blazer and flare pant. So I wanted a dress that sort of, you know, had structure to it. So it had that kind of a vibe. So we worked on that, you know, together. And the day itself was quite long because, of course, we have COVID testing first thing in the morning at like 6 or 7 a.m. I don't know what time it was, but it's early. You know, we have to keep everyone safe and healthy. And that was great. They, you know, everyone was tested multiple times before they were ever, you know, allowed to participate. And, you know, hair, makeup, the whole thing. And then finally we get going and we were finished. I mean, after 10 p.m., close to 11 p.m., somewhere in there. It's a very long day. And I think, you know, there's a lot of issues that are going on with a lot of the ladies and everyone wants to be heard. And I think that everyone sort of felt that was their opportunity. But I also feel like even with as much time as we were talking, there was still so much more to be said. We could have spent days, you know?
Yeah. You know?
Well, I'm so excited to see it. I think it's going to be great. I think the season has been excellent. You are really just one of our favorites. You are so genuine and so honest. And I think a lot of people really respect you being just so open about everything. Because if you come on a TV show about your life and you try to hide stuff, it just doesn't work out. That's not a genuine, authentic way of going about it. So honestly, props to you because it was really awesome to watch.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys having me here today.
Of course. Keep being the queen that you are. Disengage when it's appropriate. And we can't wait to see you on the reunion. Congrats on everything. It's been so fun to watch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I hope to talk to you guys again soon.
Definitely.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye.